Today on Real Radio.
For this reason, verse 1, what reason? Verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. That's the whole key to what we're going to be studying. We have power as Christians because you and I have access to the Father tonight, every moment of the day.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We've been exploring chapter 3, and in verses 14 through 17, we read quite the Trinitarian passage, which also lists benefits for the believer. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called A Prayer for Power.
Every one of us tonight need power as Christians. If you are a Christian tonight, you are keenly aware of the fact you need power to walk your Christian walk. And we're going to talk about how to get that power tonight. And may the Lord help us and bless us with this. Why don't we read through the scripture in Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 14. Paul says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. He wasn't even done, really, as we'll see later in chapter 4, but he says amen. It warrants an amen with what he just said. Amazing stuff. I don't know how many parts we're going to have to this section from 14 to 21, but we're not going to rush through this area. I'm excited about getting to verse 20. That verse alone in all of the Bible holds a world's record for superlatives. Exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all. I mean, is Paul exaggerating? Not. He is absolutely stating truth. And I can't wait to get to verse 20. But to keep us in suspense will probably take about 3 weeks to get there. So, but the power of God in our lives, what does it mean and what is it? Well, first of all, we're going to be seeing in our study through this series here that God wants us to have power to live our Christian life. Our Christian life is to have power, people, as Christians. If you are suffering, if you are just barely getting by as a Christian, then you're lacking the power of God. The second thing that we'll study in concerning the power of God is that we are to be filled with the power of God to serve in the Christian family, to be ministers. All of us are called to be servants of the Most High. The third thing we'll see in this series is that we have been given power to be witnesses to the world. The fourth thing is that we have been given power to overcome sin. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans that sin shall not have dominion over us. And you may be struggling with sin in your life. It seems to be constantly getting the better hold on you. And yet it doesn't have to be. And I trust that by the time we come through this, you're going to have victory in the sin that does so easily beset us. The fifth and final thing is that we will have power to endure the tribulations of life. And all of us want power. I remember when I was working at Baxter, we had to wear ties. And every year, the guys up in the front office established the trend, the power tie. Is it yellow this year or is it red? Is it striped or is it a Rush Limbaugh tie? Well, I like to wear red because it's a power thing. People really get into it. The whole world wants power. Well, listen, they can do their little props and their little facades about power. Promised to us as Christians is true power by the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul's prayer is all about. And we'll see tonight just exactly what he means. But tonight you may be smart. You may be powerful in what your position might be. But you cannot take any of that knowledge or any of that worldly power and translate it into your Christian experience. It doesn't work. And I got to tell you, we'll have power by the Holy Spirit to pray. And we're going to see how Paul prays. This is really a prayer that Paul begins to offer up. In fact, we'll jump ahead right now. You see in verse 1 of chapter 3, he says, for this reason, you ought to draw a circle around for this reason and draw an arrow. I mean, if you want to. My Bible looks like a mess. But you can draw an arrow all the way up to verse 18 of chapter 2. That's the reason. For this reason, verse 1, what reason? Verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. That's the whole key to what we're going to be studying. We have power as Christians because you and I have access to the Father tonight, every moment of the day. How are you feeling tonight? What's going through your mind? What are you thinking? It doesn't matter. It's not what you're thinking. It's not what kind of a day you had. You see, God wants to give us power that transcends all that stuff. But when I pray, like tonight, oh God, you got to help me. It is so important that we recognize that we are coming before God our Father when we pray. And so tonight, like when I prayed, and like every time when I pray or when you pray. And I've got to tell you, I pray a lot. Not because I'm so spiritual, it's because I'm in such great need of God's power in my life. So I might pray something like this, oh God, you are so awesome. And don't you think that way when you pray? God, you are so awesome. You are so great. God, you inhabit eternity. You're the creator of all. And that's good. We should come to God thinking like that. But so often then I get into my prayer or to my petition and I'll wander away or I'll become sleepy or I'll become kind of detached in my prayer, because I often forget the God that I'm approaching. Jesus warned us. In fact, we mentioned it on Sunday in that, interestingly enough, that study on prayer in Thessalonians. Jesus warns us in Matthew's gospel, don't come and pray with vain repetitions. He says the heathen think that they will be heard by God because they'll just repeat the same prayer over and over and over again. Jesus says it doesn't work. But we can lose track. We can lose focus when we pray like that. I have found out in my life when I'm going to pray and when I'm going to approach the Lord, I need to realize that I'm coming before the God of the universe. Incredible. And the more we focus on that, the more I think success we'll have in prayer. But we need to realize who we're coming to. And I want you to set that in your mind right now. You might want to jot down a few notes about how great our God is and put this in your mind before we pray, because Paul is going to show us how to pray here tonight. In Psalm 19, verse 1. By the way, the psalmists are great for teaching us how to pray. I don't know if you're into the book of Psalms at all, but you ought to start reading the Psalms. The psalmist says in Psalm 19, 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the heavens, the firmament, the starry heavens, the sky, shows his handiwork. That's a good thing to do. Go outside. Tonight, go outside where it's crystal clear and pray. Take a walk tonight. Look up and pray. Watch what goes on in your heart. God, this is amazing. He hung those stars in the sky for you. There's really no other reason for those stars to be there. There's no reason but to display and declare his awesome works. Why is that important? So you and I will come before God and see his greatness by looking at what he's done. And all of a sudden, our health problem's not that big of a deal. All of a sudden, the things that we think are so great are nothing in the hands of our great and awesome God. Psalm 19:1. Psalm 145, verse 3 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. That's how big your God is. Now, I've been rolling around in these scriptures all day, so I'm pretty pumped. But you ought to get excited about this. I love this. I've mentioned to you regarding this before, is we do not serve a god of the cults. You can figure out those gods. Our God is past finding out. He's past knowing. He's unsearchable. He's too huge. That's the kind of God I want to save me. We need to have this mindset when we pray. Psalm 150, verse 2. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. It's good for us to understand and to acknowledge who it is that we're talking to when we pray. So in verses 14 to 15 tonight, I want you to realize something, that our power is connected to our relationship with our Father. He says in verse 14, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named." Notice Paul's attitude in prayer. I say attitude carefully. It says that he bows his knees. This is kind of fun. Jews, Hebrews, did not bow their knee to pray. They didn't do it. The Jews believed that you stood to pray. You can look throughout Scripture. Jesus stood praying. Solomon stood praying. David stood praying. The rabbis stood and prayed. When it was time for them to pray, they stood up and prayed. Paul says, "I bow my knee." It's interesting that Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane fell on his face and prayed. Also, it is true that Solomon at the dedication of the temple in Chronicles fell on his knees and lifted his hands up to heaven and he prayed. You can find again in other portions of Scripture where Paul or where Peter bowed themselves to pray. There is no set position for prayer except the attitude of the heart. When you are flying in a little airplane, one of the things that you want to keep your eyeball on is the attitude indicator. Really, they have one. We should have one. Actually, we do. It's our face, isn't it? We have an attitude indicator. But you want to look at this thing to see what the configuration or the positioning of the plane is. Am I yawing, or am I pitching, or am I rolling, or am I... And it tells you this. Listen, when you bow your knee to pray, or when you lift your hands, you know, some people, you'll see them in this church, they'll lift their hands when they pray. And you might be thinking, oh my gosh, this is a radical Pentecostal place. Listen, they're actually obeying Scripture when they do that. The New Testament and the Old Testament says that we ought to lift our hands and pray. Well, yeah, but Jack, it was done during a song. That's even better. It's even better because they're worshiping the Lord and they're taking the words of the song, and as the words come off of their lips, they're making it a prayer unto God. Oh Lord, I will praise you and I will extol your name, O Lord Most High. You're making that a prayer. And when the hand goes up, it's an attitude indicator. When Paul fell to his knees, it was an attitude indicator of where his heart was at. One of the greatest things, I don't know if you do that, I hope you do, because no one's watching, is when you are alone, do you get on your knees or do you lay prone? Or do you stand with your hands up when you're all alone and pray to God? It's a fun thing to do. I'm pretty much of a slob. I like sweatpants and tank tops and, you know, socks with holes in them. I like to veg. Now listen, when we pray, for me, I like to get dressed up for prayer. I like to get my Hebrew prayer shawl and put that thing on when I pray. Now, I only do it alone so nobody sees me or knows about it. But I like that. And I have some quirky things that I do when I pray. It's none of your business. But it's my thing between me and my Father. And I like it. And does God hear my prayer any better? No. But you know what? I just feel a little bit better about it. I want to enter his presence with praise and with thanksgiving. Paul is thinking like that. He bows his knee. Prayer to him is a big deal. Paul was an awesome man of prayer. He says, "I pray for you continually." He never ceased praying. You know what it's like to have that? I know, in some respect, that burden, nothing like Paul had. Nothing. But there's a burden on my heart that I pray about all the time. I honestly cannot count how many times a day that I pray, and how that's been going on for years, about a certain thing. And it's a passion. Paul had a passion, and the passion was so real that he bowed his knee. The scripture says, verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And he calls out, "Father." He's identifying the Father. He's not only bowing his physical body because of his heart wanting to bow, he calls upon the Father. And this is a beautiful thing that he's doing here. And I think this is a call to prayer for all of us. As he bows his knee and he calls to the Father. You know what, people? I don't want to offend anybody, because I think there is a place for political involvement for a church and for Christians. But let me tell you something right now. We can have a rally for abortion and thousands of people will show up. That's fine. But if we have a prayer service for abortion, 5 people will show up. We can have voter registration and voter guides and voter this and voter that. If we have a prayer meeting for the vote, 5 people show up. Listen, we need as Christians to get our head on straight. We will never change the world by political activism as Christians. We will change the world by praying about the issue. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. There's a balance, but we better be people of prayer, because prayer God uses. It's prayer that God uses in the life of His church. We need to pray. And this is a call to prayer, if I understand this. But He's going to be talking to us in the next couple weeks about power. And are you ready for this? You're going to be able to have power. And it's as simple as 2 words. And you can have it. All the power necessary for you to walk the most awesome Christian walk. Isn't that a radical thing to say? And it just will come to you in 2 words. Ask Him. Who? The Father. In Jesus' name, by the Holy Spirit, or through the Spirit. It's that simple. But He says, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, it's not what you know in life. You'll find that out if you haven't found it out already. It's who you know. And do you know the Father? When it comes to power as a Christian, do you know Him? Jesus said in John 14:8, Jesus said, Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father and it will be sufficient for us. Just show us the Father." And Jesus says, "Have I been so long with you and you still say, show me, show you the Father?" He says, "Philip, if you look at me and you look at my life, you have seen the Father." Paul says he's praying to the Father. We are to approach the Father. Jesus says, when you pray like this: "Our Father, which is in heaven." Ephesians 2:18 says, "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." We come to the Father through Jesus Christ, obviously. But recognize that it is your Father that we're crying out to. And it's the Lord who says, "Call me Father." That's a family term, of course. Abba in the Hebrew. Come. Papa in Italian. Really, it is. Abba, Hebrew. Papa, Italian. I like that. Daddy in American, English, pop, slang, whatever it is. Look at verse 15. He says here, "For whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." And this is kind of neat. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses..." Now let me ask you, witnesses, who are these witnesses in Hebrews 12? Well, he says, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Are they in heaven or are they on the earth? "Let us lay aside every weight of sin that so easily besets us or ensnares us, and let us run the race with endurance that is before us." Why are we surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses? What is implied in the book of Hebrews is that there's a cloud of witnesses that cheer us on as we here are running the Christian race. Listen, people, we are supposed to be encouraging each other as we run this Christian run. Now, I know we don't always do that. It's a shame. It's a shame. We should be ashamed for that. We should really be encouraging each other on. But what a lot of scholars believe is that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it is the heavenly host that is cheering us on. And that raises a pretty interesting thought. Can they see us up there running? My answer to that is no, they can't. Or else it wouldn't be heaven up there if they could see what we're doing down here. Oh, God, there he goes. Oh, no. You know, that would bum heaven out, I think, if they could see. But they've gone on before us. And their existence is in heaven. It is an encouraging thing. But that is the family. There's the family triumphant the Bible speaks about. That's the family in heaven. And there's the family vigilant is the terminology. That's us. We are going through the war. They've already made it through. That is family there, and we are family here. And it's under the name of God, God the Father. And this is an interesting thing because what he's saying is, I have my sons and my daughters who are called by my name. They're mine. And this verse in verse 15 is a great, great verse concerning eternal security of the born again, I stress, believer. When he says in verse 15, for the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. We are named to the name of God, we are his, and we're going to stay his. And that's good news. But look with me in verses 16 to 17, and we'll just go down to 17 tonight, where I want you to see here that we are to pray for spiritual strength in our lives as Christians. He says, and this is his first request, this is his prayer, that he would grant you, or how about us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That he would grant you according to his riches. Now listen to this. The word according to his riches is great. It means all of his wealth. That doesn't mean a portion of it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation taken from Ephesians 3 and verses 14 through 17, where Paul pens quite the Trinitarian passage. A Prayer for Power is the title of this mini-series, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Our goal here at Real Radio is to build you up in the faith and to present the truth of the Almighty to non-believers so that they might come to a saving knowledge of Messiah. But no matter how strong our faith, from time to time, doubt creeps in. Doubt can be discouraging, but none of us can escape it completely. Remember, even the disciple Peter had times of doubt. The word doubting has forever been attached to Thomas, another of Jesus' disciples. Even the great prophet John the Baptist knew the struggle of doubt personally. We all struggle with doubt. And this is why Pastor Jack has put together a two-part DVD presentation called Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Gives us 10 reasons why we all struggle with doubt in our lives as believers, no matter what kinds of doubts you've had about the faith. Pastor Jack has likely dealt with the issue. So here's our offer for this month. For your gift of any amount in support of the ongoing work of Real Radio, we'll send you this two-part DVD set, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Again, for your gift of any amount to the ongoing work of Real Radio, we'll be glad to send your way this two-part DVD set, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.